Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. Thank you to all the essential workers out there who are saving the day and on the front lines. Way to go, guys. I'm here today with Mr. Vin Forte.
Hey.
Vin, how are you?
I am good after having watched what we watched for this episode.
Vin, I am so excited about this episode. I have wanted to do this idea maybe since the very beginning of PCMC.
It's really all been building towards this.
Yes. Today we're going to talk about a TV special from 1987. Alf Loves a Mystery.
Boy, does he.
Have you ever seen Alf Loves a Mystery?
No, not until this very moment.
But did you ever hear about it?
No. I know the specials like it. It's basically a preview for NBC's like fall lineup.
For its Saturday morning cartoons for the fall.
Right. And it's basically Alf. There's like a framework around it.
Yeah.
But it's basically a big excuse to show trailers for all the hot new cartoons.
Right. Yes. This was, kids, let's go back a little bit. Before basic cable and Cartoon Network and the Disney Channel, the network showed cartoons on Saturday mornings, and this was really the biggest block for children's programming. So often what would happen is the networks would, during the evening before the new season, usually like the Friday before the Saturday, they would have these shows where they would show you previews. But this is itself odd. This is a little different, this one.
Yeah, because most of the time, those specials would just be like, hey, here's Joey Lawrence going to tell you about the new lineup for the fall. And they would just like present the clips to you in a very matter-of-fact way.
Right.
This is like an episode of a TV show that doesn't exist.
This is like a David Lynchian nightmare. It's got dream logic in that it kind of makes sense while you're watching it, but then when you think about it later, it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, Alf starts out with like a magic like Commodore VIC-20 where he can just like type stuff in and generate all sorts of matter and situation.
Yeah. We begin with Alf. He's in a room. I don't know whose room it is. I never really watched Alf. But
this has nothing to do with the TV show Alf.
Is the little kid in this from Alf?
I don't believe so.
All right. So Alf is typing at his old-ass computer, and he's talking to his agent on the phone. And this leads into showing a clip from, there was an Alf cartoon after the success of Alf. I think it was on for about 2 years.
Yeah, and it was a prequel.
Yes, it was him and his Alf family on Melmac.
Yeah.
So it begins with that clip. A lot of what this special is old-fashioned kind of video toaster effects where you composite something in, like if it were like, it's like a frame, it's like a framed picture on the wall, but inside the frame is clearly a video, and then the video starts playing.
Yeah.
That's basically the major effect in the whole thing, because that's how they get to the clips of the cartoons.
Pretty much.
So Alf is on the phone with his agent, and he says to his agent, Sydney, you have no vision. I'll be bigger than Ollie North.
Yeah. What a reference.
A nice Oliver North reference for the kids.
What does that even mean? Like, I'll be bigger than Oliver North. Oliver North, of course, being the guy who sold weapons for hostages.
Right.
During the Reagan administration.
I guess it's just a random, like...
I'll be bigger than Rock Hudson, or, like, I'll be bigger than, you know, Sylvester Stallone. Like, any, like, old or... I'll take any old or new Hollywood name, but bigger than Oliver North.
I guess it's just because it's a name. Like, if it were made today, he'd be like, Sydney, you've got no vision. I'll be bigger than Dr. Fauci.
Gee, I'll be bigger than Anthony Fauci.
So so this little kid walks into this room. Uh-oh. And he's basically like, Alf, what are you doing? And Alf's like, I'm writing, because that's the thing I do. And
I'm being a huge asshole.
Great Alf voice, by the way. So the kid is Benji, which I think is his real name. Oh, no, he is the kid from Alf.
Oh, he is. Okay.
But they call him Benji. So I think it's supposed to be the actor from Alf, not the actual character that the kid plays. Like, this is behind the scenes of the sitcom Alf.
Breaking the fourth wall, worse than that time Alf was caught using several racial epithets.
That's a real video, folks. Look it up.
Yeah, go look that up and cry.
I should also say, Alf Loves a Mystery is very available. If you can find it very easily on YouTube.
And not just one, like, there's a lot of people who have uploaded this.
Yeah. I love watching the commercials from the time, too.
Oh, the commercials were great.
Yeah. So the kid is like, can you put me in a story? And Alf's like, sure, I'll put you in a mystery. I love a mystery. Hence the titular moment.
Yeah, hence the title of the show, a declarative statement. Alf loves a mystery.
So as he starts writing, you hear this sort of saxophone music, but it doesn't...
Well, I have to cut you off here. Please. Not only do you hear saxophone music, he's talking to this child, and he's like, I need something sexy. Yeah. I'm like, where's this going? He's like, I need a sax. I need something sexy and saxy. I'm like,
it's going to have the feel of the big city.
Yeah. The feel of the big city.
Right. And then you have the sexy sax comes on. There's a lot of weird, inappropriate things with this kid that we'll get to. Yeah, it's already a weird thing. This is a package of showing clips from Saturday morning cartoons, but we're going to make it like an Agatha Christie kind of Raymond Chandler, more like Raymond Chandler type of mystery.
We're also not going to put effort into why anything is going on. Because it's literally mystery. Because it's literally just the kid walks in and is like, I want to be in a mystery. And Alf's like, okay, I've got my magic computer. And right. Then he uploads a background or something.
Right.
And then, like, I'm going to dress this kid. I'm going to tell this kid what... Not only am I going to tell this kid what to wear, I'm going to make this kid wear what I tell him.
Yeah, it's weird. The kid's wearing, like... He kind of looks like a...
Humphrey Bogart?
Yeah. He looks like Humphrey Bogart from Casablanca and quotes Humphrey Bogart from Casablanca. Although Casablanca is not a mystery and Humphrey Bogart is not a detective in it.
Yeah. Yeah, this kid thinks he's Humphrey Bogart, but he's way more Peter Lorre.
And by the way, when Alf sends the kid into his dream world of nightmares, he says, I'm bringing along all your favorite Saturday morning friends, and they'll help you by giving you clues. Which is like, this thing is like a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat. There's so many layers of realities that it just, the whole thing is just insane. By the way, I wrote this down verbatim because I wanted to share with you. In the beginning, they sort of give the role, like the credits as voiceover credits. And this is who's in this special. Starring in alphabetical order, Alf. From Our House, Shannon Doherty. From St. Elsewhere, Stephen First. From Alf, Benji Gregory. From 227, Jack Hay. Okay. From Valerie's Family, David Ponce. From Rags to Riches, Douglas Seal. From the Golden Girls, Betty White, Mary Wicks. From Rags to Riches, Heidi Ziegler. Shannon Doherty is very young in this. This is pre-90210.
Yeah, very up-and-coming Shannon Doherty.
I had never heard of the show Our House. It was a sitcom that was only on for a few seasons that was just like this domestic sitcom where Shannon Doherty's grandpa was Wilford Brimley.
Of course.
So I love to think of Wilford Brimley on the set of Our House getting the script for John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, my God. Well, at that time, he would have been getting the script for Cocoon.
Yes. So the kid, Benji, inside the narrative of the mystery, his name is Kid Cameron.
For reasons.
The entire show has... It's got the aesthetic of like an SNL sketch.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good. It's, well, you know, the whole thing feels like it was written and constructed by advertisers rather than actual writers, which it probably was. Because the dialogue is just god-awful.
It's certainly something. Jack A definitely puts in the performance of a lifetime, really.
She's great in it. She's committing like she always does.
Yeah.
So we begin kind of Agatha Christie, like we're in the parlor of a mansion, which, see, that's another thing. Like, Agatha Christie mysteries are different from, like, Raymond Chandler, you know, hardbeat detective. Like, it doesn't even understand its own references.
Yeah, because they make the kid out to be a detective, but it's in an Agatha Christie Victorian.
Right. None of it makes sense. So, inside the mansion, he meets two other little kids, and they're kind of not really fleshed out. I think they're called, like, the Hardys, and then they make some joke about the Hardy Boys, and it's like they're just going to help him along on this mystery, but it's not clear who they are. Did Alf make them up?
Alf created them with his computer.
So Jack A is sort of one of the femme fatales. She's introduced with sexy jazz music. And we see Kid Cameron, this 10-year-old boy, like, looking at her. So it's like we see her through the male gaze of a child. This is one of the first weirdly sexual things, because they treat this little kid like he's a grown-up detective.
Right, like Jack A is kind of like almost seducing him at points.
Yeah, it's super weird. So Jack A says, okay, in this mansion there's a fortune, sure, and whoever finds it, I'll split with them 50-50. Okay. So, so they go to find the fortune in this mansion, which she calls herself the Countess, but then she's not really the Countess. But it's like, who then owns the house? Who hid this fortune? Who was anybody? Like, in the room, you've got the two kids that meet Kid Cameron. Then we've got Shannon Doherty, who's like 15, and she's wearing like all red. She's like the lady in red.
Yeah.
It's not clear who she is. Then there's like some bumbling fat guy who's like this other detective.
He's just there to like have paintings drop on his head and break.
Right, exactly. And then there's this weird butler who like works for Jack Hay, but also like, I guess, wants to fuck Jack A. I don't know. There was some weird vibe between them.
I feel like everyone in the special wanted to fuck Jack A.
I mean, who didn't in 1987? So the kids enter a spooky room with a piano playing, and the kids walk up to the piano. There's a songbook on the piano, but composited into the cover of the songbook is an image of Alvin and the Chipmunks. We zoom into this, and we start to see a clip from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Right, except that then it's revealed that, like, Alvin and the Chipmunks are in the Haunted Mansion.
After every clip from a cartoon, we hear a voice from the cartoon give the kids a clue, because they're somehow involved. Well, there's a clip of the Chipmunks going, and they're playing, like, a poppy song. The fat detective is listening outside the door, I don't know, being sneaky. So I wrote down all of the clues because they were fantastic. Wait. There's a great line of dialogue. After the clip, the little girl goes, Alvin's terrific. I can't wait to see more of him on Saturday.
Yeah, all these like really heads-up allusions to like, oh, I can't wait to see all my friends every Saturday morning on NBC.
Right. So then we hear Alvin himself voiceover, and he gives the first clue. Down the hall, your first clue rests beneath a dog that's blue. So the kids are like, okay, what the fuck does that mean? They travel 2 seconds down the hallway, and they find a picture of a blue dog, which leads us to a clip of Pound Puppies.
You bet it does.
And it's a clip where the dogs are like at a dog show strutting down a runway while the big blue dog narrates. We're reminded again to watch them tomorrow on Saturday morning. The kids find in the desk, there's a desk under the painting. They find a key, and the dog gives them their next clue. Fraggle Rock is Fraggle Deer. Check the basement. Coast is clear.
That's so, less a clue and more just a, hey, go to the basement.
Right. Because all of this is in one house, which is haunted by advertisements of cartoons.
It's haunted by the Chipmunks and the Fraggles and the Smurfs.
And so now we cut away from the kids, and we see Jack Hay and the butler are hanging out, like, in the wall, watching the kids through a painting with the eyes are cut out. But, like, they've already introduced themselves to the kids and given them the task of finding the fortune. So what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, also, Alf is long gone at this point.
Right. But every now and then, Alf comes back in with voiceover where he'll talk directly to the characters.
Right.
Like, he'll talk to Jack Hay, and he tells Jack Hay, like, you're a figment of my imagination, which should send Jack Hay into an existential tailspin. But instead, she's just like, I'm not a figment of anybody's imagination.
Ah, that's our Jack A.
We then cut back to the fat detective, the bad guy detective, and he's angrily yelling at the still image of the pound puppy. I guess these clues can only play once.
Yeah, they don't have the technology to play twice yet.
Right. So then, of course, like you said, the picture falls off the wall and his head busts through it and he's got the painting around him. Because this guy keeps getting hurt because fuck you for being fat, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, he's the fat detective. He'll be on Thursdays.
So, in the basement, the kids find a hole in the ground, which leads to a clip of Fraggle Rock. Not the original Fraggle Rock, but a cartoon of Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
This is probably the best part of the whole special because they play the Fraggle Rock theme, and this shit still slaps.
Oh, yeah. It was really good.
Then the Fraggles give them their next clue. In the bedroom, you will find a wild woman with one glass eye.
Sounds fucking fantastic. A wild woman with one glass eye? What is she getting up to?
So now we see that the kids are being spied on by Sharon Doherty, who I guess she's also a femme fatale. Every woman's a femme fatale. But also, like, you were all tasked with finding this fortune. Why is everyone following what these kids are doing? Just go into the room yourself or go into another room.
Also, Alf created all of them.
Right. Alf is the shitty writer.
Yeah. Alf's the one who made a 15-year-old femme fatale.
Right. That sick fuck. So we go into a bedroom and we find Betty White, who I'm just going to say, This is way below her pay grade.
Yeah, she's clearly like the odd. She's like the lone big name that they spent the money to get.
Right. And you know they asked B. Arthur, and B. Arthur was like, absolutely fuck.
I'll be the bartender in the Star Wars holiday special, but I'm not doing this.
She scolded somebody with hot coffee. Betty White she's got this like pyramid hat on her head that she's pretending is stuck.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's supposed to be, like, into weird, like, new age shit. She's like I don't know what she is. She's kind of like a fortune teller, but not. Why is she staying in one room in this house? How does no one know that she's in there? She says she's going to a new age convention in San Diego.
Oh, sure.
To which the little girl says, new what? So she's got a crystal ball, and in the crystal ball we see a clip from Gummy Bears. Again, another great theme song.
Yeah.
And these are all NBC shows. This is on NBC. So then Grammy Gummy gives us a clue. Three apples tall and colored blue. Search a trunk for your next clue.
So all these dead Smurfs are in this trunk.
Right. See, here's the weird thing. All of the clues just lead to other clues. So
it's like Lost. There's no answer.
Right. He didn't think it through. And it reminds me of, like, remember when you were a kid, you'd get a textbook, and it would be like, the secret of life is on page 60. And then you'd turn to page 60, and it'd be like, turn to page 21, and you'd, like, keep turning.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it would loop around, and you'd get back to the first page again, and you've been had. That's sort of what this is. Why couldn't fucking Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks be like, hey, the treasure's in the fireplace. Go to the fireplace. Like, yeah. What do these cartoons have to gain
from why couldn't you just have Alf introduce a bunch of clips of Saturday morning cartoons?
I know. Why did they think this was the way to do this?
Like, did they need to create intrigue?
I mean, like, do little kids love film noir so much that they were like, this will really hook the kids in?
Alf loves a mystery, so must kids.
Oh, so after Granny Gummy says, three apples tall and colored blue, search for a trunk for your next clue, Betty White says, sounds like my last date, which I don't understand. Like, what? So, by the way, the trunk is right there in the room next to Betty White. Like, they don't even have to go to another room for this cloak.
No, they're getting lazier and lazier.
Yeah. And this is, of course, just a clip of the Smurfs. Then I think Papa Smurf gives their next clue. The attic holds a wondrous treasure. Search there for laughter and for pleasure.
I don't like that. Search for laughter and pleasure.
So now they're going to go to the attic, but as Kid...
Well, they're going to get tickled by Jack A or something.
As Kid Cameron is leaving, Betty White, who's already old at this point, like, kind of, like, hits on him. She says, do you want to take this pyramid hat that I had stuck on my head? And he says, thanks anyway, good looking, but we'll go it alone. And then she insists that he takes a flashlight, to which he replies, he's looking at you, kid. Which, again, is a quote from Casablanca, not a detective story.
Yeah.
He's flirting with this woman who is, or she's flirting with him. This is no hyperbole. She might be 6 times his age.
Well, let's see. You said it was 1987?
Right.
Let's see. Let's play a game called How Old Was Betty White in 1987? Because as we all know, back in the day, even going back 20 years, let alone 30, being 40 or 50 is not what it is now.
Right.
So let's play a game of how old Betty White was.
Well, she's in her 90s now.
I think you still might get it wrong. And I'll tell you why if you can guess it.
Is she in her 60s?
Let me work backwards here. She was 66 or 67.
All right. So we're told that this character, this boy, is 10 years old. So she is 6 times his age.
That's astounding to me that she's almost 70 then. She is 98 today.
Wow. 98? Really? I thought she was
98 years old.
I thought she was like 95 or something.
Yeah, right. That's why I said you're gonna be shocked. Like, it's 98. She's crawling up on 100.
So of course there's sexy saxophone as Betty White leans longingly in the doorway at the kid leaving and says, "Oh, what a guy."
Yeah.
So Shannon Doherty shows up and she greets them, and Alf's voiceover takes over. We don't see what they're saying. Alf just says she charms them into taking her with them. We cut back to the butler and Jack Hay. He is suggesting torture methods. He's like, why not Chinese finger trap or death by tickling? Why are they torturing people? What is happening?
Yeah.
So at this point, Jack Hay refers to her act, suggesting that she's a performer pretending to be the Countess. But the butler seems perturbed by that. So it's like, I thought you guys were on the same. She's conning the butler too. I thought he was working for you.
I have no clue anymore.
So in the attic, they find Archie Comics. And then one of the other boy, not the detective, the boring kid in the yellow sweatshirt, he holds up a comic and he's like, this is the new adventures of Archie. And then we see a clip from this cartoon, The New Adventures of Archie, which is like this 80s take on Archie. It's like Archie.
Didn't know this existed.
Me neither.
And I found it awful.
Well, first of all, the animation's terrible. And it's like his Archie on a skateboard. How 80s, totally tubular.
Yeah, not good.
So now Archie gives him another clue. In a room behind a yellow door, you'll find a clue you're looking for. Then the boring kid says, thanks, Arch. We'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see you Saturday of all our friends.
So now they enter this other room with a yellow door, which they find immediately. Everything's like, hey, look over there. We have a weird Psycho reference. We see, like, an old lady in a rocking chair from behind, and they do, like, kind of the scene in Psycho where we find Norman Bates' mother, but it's just maid.
It's very weird. It kind of, like, if it wasn't already going off the rails, now's the point where it was.
Right, because we were told that Saturday morning cartoons would help us, and now this is a clip of a Saturday morning game show.
Right.
So she's watching a clip on TV. And this game show is called I'm Telling, and it's brothers and sisters, kids, as the contestants. And from what I can tell, I think the game is kind of like the Newlywed Game. I think you have to guess what your sibling's going to say. So now they're given a clue that leads them to the parlor, which is where they began. They get back to the parlor, and there's some clue about an owl. They touch the owl, and then, like, a secret panel opens in the fireplace, and we see the treasure. Which, by the way, doesn't look like much. It looks like a bunch of costume jewelry, some hookah lamps, a couple of stacks of $1 bills. So the kids are like, wow, we're rich. But then from behind them, they hear Jack A, who's like, no, you're dead meat. And they turn around, and there's Jack A with a gun. So the fat detective comes by, he comes into the room, he's still got the painting around him. Jack Hay's like, you get to the center of the room with the other people. Jack Hay says, you kids are going to remove the treasure from the vault, and then I'm going to lock you in the vault forever.
You're going to murder these children.
You guys are going to run out of food and
again,
die.
Again, we have to stress, Alf brought these children into this weird existential hellscape, and then created Jack A to murder them.
Yes, but maybe Alf was trying to start a series of, like, sexy incest novels, like, from the 80s, and while the kids were all inside the vault, it was going to be, like, Flowers in the Attic.
Well, maybe. Only Alf knows. But what we know about Alf could fill a book.
What do you know? If there's a strike of lightning and all the lights go out.
Lazy writing.
There's some rustling, and what do you know? The maid who was watching the game show, she's really an undercover detective.
What?
She's been tracking the case of this treasure for months or whatever. When the lights come back on, we see that Jack Hay and the butler are handcuffed together.
Yeah.
Then the cop lady is like, and she's not even the real countess. She's like a dancer or whatever. And then the butler is like, what? And it's like, but how do you not know that? Shannon Doherty, we are told her family is where the treasure was stolen from. So the treasure belongs to her. Sure. So Shannon Doherty bends down to give the kid a kiss. Again, she's like a teenage girl and he's like a little boy.
Yeah, this is like Anakin Skywalker territory.
He's like, are you an angel?
I like sand.
So before she could kiss him, she disappears, and then the kid appears back in Alf's, I don't know, fuck pad. And Alf's like, all right, that's the end of the story.
How'd you like almost getting murdered?
The kid is mad because he wanted to kiss Shannon Doherty, and then he's like, well, at least I still have the money. He looks down at the stack of money in his hands, and it's Alf where the president should be.
Oh, he made a bunch of Alf bucks.
God damn it. Counterfeit.
He's going to jail.
Alf tells the kid, if you want to see all your friends again, tune in Saturday morning.
Is that a threat, Alf? Is that a fucking threat?
So now, when you think, okay, this weird thing's over, we could go to bed now. Shannon Doherty comes in the room. She's not who she was in the story. She's just Shannon Doherty.
Right.
And she's like, hey, Alf, are you ready for our date at the beach?
Yeah. Are you ready for the date with your 15-year-old Lolita?
It's very odd. And then the boy's like, what? And then Alf says, some things, kid, are just too good for words alone.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't quite understand what he means. Because it's like, did you know her and you based this character on her? Did you materialize her? Are you and her going to fuck? Is that what this is? What's this date at the beach? First of all, is it like 8 in the morning? I thought this was at night.
Some things are...
Hey, Benji, I'm going to eat this girl's ass. She's 15, but it's cool because I'm an alien.
I'm not human. It's okay. It's not a real penis. It's I have a different thing.
How old was Alf, the character, supposed to be?
Oh, geez. Am I going to have to Google how old is Alf? Let's see. How old is Alf?
Alf,
oh, wow. Alf is 285 years old. So not only should he not be near anyone who's 15, if we're averaging it out, he should not be near anyone.
He shouldn't even fuck Betty White.
Yeah.
Even she's too young for him. So, that's Alf Loves a Mystery. Go and check it out, because it's even weirder than what we've described. Vin, where were you when you watched this?
I was watching it in the dead of night. like I thought you were supposed to. It really amped up the creep factor.
Was your neighbor banging on the wall? Shut down that sexy saxophone.
Is that Alf I hear with a 15-year-old girl in your apartment?
I'm
calling the cops. I'm just taking her to the beach. I wasn't going to do anything, I swear.
I didn't know she was 15. She told me she was 100.
If I walk out of this house, are the police going to be there?
Chris Hansen comes in. I'll take a seat. I don't want to take a seat.
Can I still eat this pizza, though?
We were just going to the beach.
I carry it around with me all the time. It wasn't for this.
Alf, it's 11 o'clock at night. Why were you going to a beach?
It's my species. We go to the beach at night.
So the commercials, you can find online the show with commercials. And in general, it feels like that was the 80s or the late 80s, which is when this aired, was it seemed like it was a real time for jingles. Like every commercial had a song and a melody. Like it was really like you hear about jingles, but this was like real jingles time.
Oh yeah. Like near the end, there's like this really great like cat food commercial that's like animated and there's a great jingle.
Yeah. I really liked there was like a, I think it was a Snickers commercial where it's this very beautiful
Milky
woman.
Milky Way commercial.
Milky Way. Right. There's this very beautiful woman who's like a professional dancer. And she's like, when I need a quick bite, I have some Milky Way and it's so good. And she's kind of got that, what's that movie? Flashdance. She's kind of got a Flashdance thing.
Yeah.
She's got the pretty curly hair. It's very interesting.
Also, for people who want to know what Jack A has been up to.
Okay.
She has been on Twitter going off on conservative pundits.
You know what? I'm for it.
She went off on Candace Owens and unloaded an entire clip into her.
Really?
So Candace Owens, who's a conservative pundit, put up a tweet that said, "Fact, we went from 2.2 million to 100,000 to 60,000 predictive coronavirus deaths because the models were always bullshit, the media was always lying, and blah, blah, blah." So she's like a coronavirus truther. So Jack A. Harry quotes that tweet and goes, "This message is for Candace, you nasty-smelling bitch. Why you take things out of context, you trifling dirty ass? You shucking jive-ass bitch. I'm coming on Twitter, and I'm going to call you the fuck out, you bitch. And don't even tweet back, because I'm going to read your motherfucking Twitter."
Wow. She was very angry.
"You nasty-smelling bitch."
How do you know that, Jack A? She might smell fine. How old do you think Jack A is now?
I'm going to say,
I've got it.
I'm going to say she is...
She's actually younger than I thought.
I'm going to say, because I'm assuming she's 62.
You're 1 year off. She's 63.
Oh.
Yes. By the way, my favorite Jack A performance is she's in Ladybugs with...
Rodney Dangerfield, yeah.
And together they sing Great Balls of Fire.
That's right.
Jack A and Rodney Dangerfield have a duet where they sing Great Balls of Fire.
And then, of course, Sister Sister.
Oh, well. This has been PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined by Vin Forte from the Planet Melmac.
Yeah.
Go watch Alf Loves a Mystery. Vin, thanks for being here.
Yeah, go watch it. You may or may not be disappointed.
We end every episode by saying, go bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.